Guys, before we get started here, a quick disclaimer. Today's episode is entirely, and I mean completely and entirely, about Overwatch and its new beta. If you have no interest in that, or don't want to hear a show where we hardly bring up any other Blizzard games, especially WoW, at all, skip this one. Otherwise, if you're excited about Overwatch, do not skip it. We talk about some awesome stuff, and it was a great episode, so check it out. Anyway, just wanted to give that disclaimer. Again, if you don't like Overwatch, probably don't want this one. If you like Overwatch, today's a great episode. Let's go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, a very special episode of The Instance for Friday, October 30th, 2016. 15, jeez. Tomorrow is Halloween. I hope everyone has a safe and tasty Halloween. That's what I want. I want you to be scared. I want you to eat a lot of candy. And I want you to sit down and listen to this show where we talk about Overwatch for the next hour and a half or however long we're here. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
I'm good.
It's Overwatch week.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Sorry, we're probably not going to be talking about any other game.
No, as you heard in the thing at the top of the show, we are focused clearly on this week. It is maybe the only time we'll ever have this much focus on it, but at least before it gets released. But yeah, there's really nothing else going on in particular, and especially in WoW, they're holding all their cards for BlizzCon, as one might expect, and we'll have lots to talk about next week post BlizzCon or even during. But for now, man, it's all about Overwatch. Also joining us, Dills. Hello, Dills.
Hello.
You and I played
Overwatch.
Yeah, and you and I were playing a couple of games together.
We did, yeah. Right now, there's like really only one mode. So basically pop in, play with your friends against whoever you pair up against. And it is the funnest thing ever.
Yeah, it is really fun.
I'm really bad, though, but that doesn't matter. It's fine.
Well, see, now that's interesting you say that, because Patrick shared similar thoughts earlier in the week about how he's not really a PvP shooter man. And this game may have turned him around on that. So I guess maybe what we should do before we get to the meat of this thing, let's talk about who got the beta and some of our early impressions of it, the general impressions of the gameplay, the graphics, the map stuff they've shown so far, modes and so on. And then we'll get into some of the mysteries that have been unlocked since then. But let's start with Patrick. So the people that got the beta were mostly... YouTubers, streamers, influencers, podcasters, people
not
like
mostly,
that.
Mostly, no. This is a falsity that has been. I mean, yes, a lot of them did get in,
yeah.
But a lot of regular people got in too. It's just that that's not very visible to everybody.
Yeah, people don't see that as much because again, they're not the ones that are out there talking. But I got a handful of emails and a bunch of tweets from people saying, "Sweet, I got in. What's your gamer tag? I'll play." And they're just listeners and people, and you know, people that don't ever stream anything. So
it's a small first wave.
Yeah.
But there's also Blizzard does this with every beta. There's a friends and family, which means that goes to people who Blizzard employees know. And sometimes those are podcasters and whatnot. That's how I got in.
Yeah.
And then there are a certain number that they give out just to people who they know are going to showcase the game.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I don't understand the anger.
Yeah. I think, I don't think that I haven't seen a lot of anger, but
I've seen a lot more.
Blizzard basically, it's not a surprise. They make sure that anyone who could be an influencer is going to be in the game. But that's still, as you were saying, Dills, a relatively small number of people compared to the overall. But but obviously they're very visible, and there are a lot more people who are regular players who didn't get the beta. So, you know, the way I think of this is, can I get a little bit political?
Yeah,
Scott,
of course you can.
Just a second.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's fine. I need a theme for that. Hold on. Do I have a theme?
Don't worry, loves. Cavalry's here.
All right, go ahead.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Cavalry.
So basically, the way I look at this is that we are incredibly fortunate. It's kind of like being a person who's lucky enough to be born in the first world, right? In a rich country. You have to find a way to be happy. Otherwise, it's kind of insulting to people who weren't as lucky as you and who aren't as fortunate as you are. So when you translate that to Overwatch, the way I'm doing this is that I'm fortunate enough to be in it. So I'm going to play as much as I possibly can every day of every, you know, every hour of every day. And that's what I've been doing for the past few days.
So you want to take, you don't want to lose, you don't want to lose sight of how special this is and how.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand that. Don't take it for granted.
I'm also going to point something else out, though. And because I've seen a ton of salt from people about the fact that streamers got in.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people came into my chat while I was playing and just like, oh, see, another streamer gets it. I'm like, well, you know, no one's stopping you from streaming. Yeah. No one's stopping you from spending like 10, 15 years trying to build up podcast presence.
Right.
And like make relationships with Blizzard. Like, and so to like be salty about that when like I just don't understand that.
It's
like,
a little bit weird.
Yeah,
it's,
look, you people know, work hard to build up their streams and get really popular.
Now, all of that being said,
deserve to be able to just showcase games.
I agree. But all that being said, I totally get the feeling of wanting to get it as soon as you can get it because it looks like everyone's having fun but you. So I understand the sentiment, and I also get why. Like that day, there were people getting beta keys early in the morning, some even the previous night. And I went, ah, oh, man, that's
bad news.
I think
some people knew they had it, but they didn't like have the game. They could download the game and like go into the menus or something, but they couldn't play.
They couldn't actually play, right. But they were getting some early stuff. They could do training and, you know, the bot training and stuff. So that to me, it was like, uh-oh. I started to have that feeling of, I'm not going to get it.
Oh, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah, and then it happened.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got it, and then it was like, oh, all right, everything's great again. All's right in the world because I got it. And I am cognizant of the fact that plenty of people don't have it. You know, the majority of people that want it don't have it. But they do seem to be doing like they always do with these things. They rolled out more than we expected. They did more the second and third day than we thought they were going to do. And I am hearing from lots of fans who got it. So I think it's, you know, like any beta, it's going to be a slow rollout and we're all going to get it eventually. And we're all screwed because this game's really good and we're going to want to play it all day.
And it's also about managing your infrastructure. You don't want to, you know, invite 100,000 people and have the servers crumble under the weight of everyone.
Really can't.
So you test. Yeah, exactly. So you invite a small number of people. If everything goes well, then you invite a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, this is still, it's very public because it has to be. They can't do a closed beta and invite, you know, just 1,000 people and then not invite anyone else. They've probably done that in a company alpha already. So but it's still a beta. They're supposed to be testing stuff and making sure that everything works well, and not just gameplay, but also, you know, infrastructure-wise, as I was saying. So, anyway, people are making fun of me for saying beta. I'm going to say beta for now.
Nah, screw those guys.
No,
you keep you be you, man. You be you. So, let's talk about the game then itself.
Because
all the politics aside, who cares? The real issue or the real meat of the deal here is did Blizzard come to, let's say, me, a 20-year player of first-person shooters, a lover of Quake and Unreal and everything that came after it, loved competitive multiplayer shooters back in the day, fell off in the recent years with just kind of Call of Duty glut and what that sort of meant, and now having this brought to me now, players like that are going to be very interested in this game, I think, because this is a very, very, it feels like a big-time return to those games or that kind of gameplay.
Much faster than a lot of the games have been recently where all about like, you know, you die after a couple of shots and the only real tech is like a flashbang or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of been where we've been at for a long time. And this feels more like when you play Unreal Tournament, like Halo, like just really, really fast paced, lots of crazy weapons.
Yeah.
Every character is like, and then you throw in like TF2 elements, right? So like the fact that you've got all these characters who do lots of different roles, and how you build your team and how you actually go for objectives matters a lot more, not just killing the other people.
Sure. Patrick, thoughts?
How about we give each one of us like, because we're going to interrupt each other all the time. And
it's going to be terrible. I know.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So
it's going
to
be awful.
Let's do like four or five minutes, each one of us to give our thoughts about how we approach the game, what we think of it.
But you can go ahead.
Oh, okay.
All right, Patrick, give us 4 to 5, you said. I don't think you said 45, but yeah, go ahead.
45? I could talk about this for 45 freaking hours.
I know.
One other thing I wanted to say. There are no beta keys. So the only way you get into the beta is if your account gets flagged. So don't fall for scams if you see a scam about.
And there are a bunch of those out there already. Big time scammers do not accept those. There are no such thing as keys this time around.
So the way I summarized it in Overwatchers, the podcast about Overwatch I do with Garrett Weintraub, our good friend that you can go listen to as well, is that I'm not a big FPS fan. I've played FPSs here and there. I've played Call of Duty for, you know, a couple of months back in Modern Warfare days. I play competitive Destiny, you know, PvP Destiny here and there. I've played Team Fortress a little bit, not enough to know a lot about the game. So I was a little bit hesitant coming to Overwatch. I had a good experience at BlizzCon last year. I thought it was fun, but I wasn't certain it was going to grab me. And oh my Lord, did it grab me? I've been, honestly, I wasn't joking when I was saying I'm playing as much as I can. I've been playing for the past 3 days, I don't know, at least 5 hours a day. And when I'm not playing, I'm thinking about playing. So it's, and I think the reason for that is that I'm going to try and summarize my thoughts, but the key takeaway and the main question I've been asked over and over again by people on Twitter and elsewhere is, is this possible to enjoy if you are not an FPS pro? Because I think a lot of people look at TF2 and think, well, I need to be really good in order to not only enjoy myself, but also to contribute to the team. I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but it certainly feels like that. In Overwatch, I can absolutely guarantee that there is no need for you to be really good at aiming the reticle on an enemy's head and pressing the button at the right time in order for you to have fun or to help the team. There are, I would say, a third to half of the characters that can be, you know, on the scale of a good FPS player to bad FPS players, but there's a third to half of the characters that you can play if you're bad or average. And the way they achieve that is that their abilities have nothing to do or very little to do with aiming. I'm going to take a couple of examples. Symmetra is a character that can place a teleporter on the map, or she can place little turrets that she can place three of them, and they aim, you know, basically if you're close to them, they're going to take off your damage. And if you place those turrets well, it's going to absolutely kill people, kill enemies, and influence the way the game is going to progress. I've seen placements of those turrets that was genius. It was pretty incredible. And the teleporter, because the distance is really important, the distance you have to travel to get back to the fight is really important, a well-placed teleporter is absolutely going to change the course of the game completely. So,
For heroes players, I would say compare it to Murky's egg and how much of an advantage it gives Murky to have a well placed egg in a fight. It's like that. Exactly. If that makes any
sense.
But
everybody on your team gets to use.
Yeah, but everyone gets an egg exactly.
Yeah. And the distances, it's basically the defend and attack mechanic is all there is to the game right now. It's sometimes a static point, sometimes it's the payload that you have to escort, but it's always something one team has to attack and the other team has to defend. And those points or payloads can be very far from one of the team's respawn point. So it's really important. Another one is one of your favorites, Scott, Junkrat, who has a bunch of abilities that, for example, he has a small grenade launcher. He can throw 5 grenades before he has to reload. And those grenades have a very, you know, it's not bullets. They have a relatively okay area of damage. So you can throw them in the general direction. Obviously, it's better if you aim, but in the general direction of the enemy, and it's going to kill them. Same thing with his mine, his trip mine you can use, and his ultimate is basically an explosive tire that you can remote control into a very bad area. Or even another element is his death ability. When he dies, he releases a bunch of grenades. So I've done a couple of times, there were very entrenched enemy teams with turrets. So I went there, basically they managed to kill me, but because I knew I had the grenades on death thing, I just died and saved the day because I removed that turret and it allowed for our team to keep going.
Yeah.
I could talk a lot more about the different characters, and I'm sure we're going to get into
some of that. For sure. Let me, I'll carry on the conversation just from the Junkrat perspective. I've always been a fan of the sort of Grenader class in games like this, TF2 or whatever. I always like the demolitionist and characters that are hucking a lot of grenades. When I played Quake, I loved the grenade launcher. It was a gun I would try to get every match and use to my advantage. For whatever reason, it just speaks to me as a class and a support, kind of a supporting defensive class, but also it has some really interesting offensive opportunities. And Junkrat, ironically, and it's not because I love Mad Max so much, but both Junkrat and Roadhog are my two go-tos right now, among other characters. But there's something about both of what they do, and they do two very different things. Their roles are very different in the game, but there's something about the way they do it and what their abilities do that really make me love those two guys. But I would concur with everything you've said. What they've essentially done, in my opinion, is they've given us the groundwork, at least, if not, you know, enough to be a full game. I think there's lots more coming, but they've given us enough here to show us that what they're interested in making for the shooter is one that follows the old Blizzard mantra of easy to get into, hard to master. One that provides a good time no matter your skill level or how much time you want to devote, but will really reward players for smart teamwork, good team composition, and competitive play. I think they do that really well across the board with all of their competitive games. This may be the best example of that, in my opinion, or at least the most, the genre that is the most well-known and acceptable to many, many players, more than MOBAs, more than RTSs, and more than TCGs, or, like Magic the Gathering style games. This is the most common kind of game that they could have approached, I think. Lots of people know what's going on with first-person shooters. All of that being said, I think that there's a curve to any of these things, and you're going to get into matches where Widowmaker is making your life miserable and literally making you a widow every time you see her or you come into view. There are some people who are just really good at training in on your head and killing you, but there's something interesting that Blizzard's done here that others haven't. Most of these kinds of games where a really strong sniper exists, they'll take your head off from a million miles away, and it doesn't matter who you are, and there's not much you can do to counter that. If I come out as Junkrat, she's going to one-shot me in the head and I'm dead. If I come out my next spawn as Roadhog, big, giant, fat dude with, you know, tons of hit points and he's more of a tank, gets out in front of the fight and so on, it takes two to take me down. So she's got to hit me twice and she's got reload time and stuff to worry about. Many, many times if I've come into a fray where there's multiple Widows and one of them will hit me, I can back into a corner, do my E ability, which gives me health, almost full health again, and come right back out swinging again and even take another shot and kind of rinse and repeat if I have to. But she's not taking me down the first try. It's a small thing, but it is very subtle, game-changing stuff like that.
Well, you can directly counter Widowmaker if you want to. Like, that's a lot of people I've heard complaining about this whole thing where you can change the character that you are.
Yeah.
Mid-game, because yeah. I just think they're not used to it,
mm-hmm.
And nobody really is, right? I mean, just altering your team composition in the middle of the game is a weird thing, but it's really, really cool when you see people start to actually use it strategically. So, like, I had a game where we couldn't get this sniper. Sniper was killing people, so somebody switched to Reaper,
mm-hmm.
and just teleported right up behind the sniper and blasted her away, and then we could all get through the choke point. Right?
Yeah, it's absolutely.
And this is the kind of stuff that you can do in this game, which. It's like you say, easy to get in there and start aiming and shooting,
mm-hmm.
But really hard to start to figure out like who is the direct counter to who, what is a composition we can use if we're stuck at a choke point.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff I think is really going to make this game shine. Aside from the fact that it's just beautiful and smooth and super fun, everything just works perfectly.
Yeah,
latency is interesting and all of that. Like this adds a whole new wrinkle.
I completely agree. Latency feels non-existent. It's super clean. And I cannot state this enough. And this is, for first-person shooter class-based games, they're used to this idea of, oh, I died as the soldier in TF2. I'm going to now come back as the engineer, engineer. Is it engineer? Whatever it is.
Yeah. They didn't have that many options there, really.
Like, they don't. Not nearly like this. So that's the whole point, is that those conventions are still there. But Dills is right. You can turn everything by saying, all right, well, it's sometimes if it's solo queuing you're doing and you're like, well, I'm just not good as Junkrat in this composition and I need to change things up, you've got that option to do that, and you can turn the tide of the war. If it's a team that's all very coordinated, same thing applies. It's like, all right, Dills, come back as so-and-so, I'll come back as whatever, and we'll take that entire defense out together. Yeah. And then you can come back as whoever you want the next time. Like, it's that stuff's really powerful in this context.
there's a super important element of gameplay, at least on these maps. And I'm wondering if there's even, honestly, going in, I was thinking, oh, there's only defense attack maps. Is that enough? I would love to see other ways of using the mechanics of the game, but I'm not even sure we need a lot more than those types of games. But basically, a really key thing that happens in those maps is that there are, as Dills was saying, a bunch of choke points where it's very easy for the defense to completely lock it down. And it becomes, for the attack, the huge challenge is to get through that choke point. And a lot of teams, a lot of players are just going to keep coming back and smash themselves against that wall over and over and over again.
Running out into the street, standing there shooting. And he was like, cool, thanks. I'm Bastion. So I'm just...
Exactly. Bastion is that robot that can turn into a turret, and he has a little shield in front of him. So basically, if he's in a corner and you have a couple of them, and you have another, you have a Torbjorn who's going to get a turret down, get it to level 2 or 3, it becomes super hard to get through. And that's when you have to understand that you need those different types of characters. You need a tank, you need a Reaper that's going to teleport. Basically, his ability, teleport ability, is to just anywhere you can see on the map, you press a button and you teleport there. It takes a couple of seconds, but it can make your play, as I was saying, a game-changing play, just because you teleport at the right spot and then shoot a couple of shots of your shotguns and take out a turret that then allows your other characters to, your teammates to go in. Mm-hmm. And those controlling the choke point is super hard for the attack. Honestly, it can become very frustrating because you get mowed down by Bastions. And I think it might need a little bit of balancing but...
Well, that's what this beta is for.
It is the key thing of the game, and it can get super interesting.
And so it's interesting when you guys keep mentioning Reaper and his ability to teleport. Your first impression of that ability is that it kind of blows. You're like, well, I'm not even sure I'm going to use E very often. Shift makes sense because you're kind of, not taking damage and moving.
Taking damage, you're running.
Yeah, it's a great way to kind of, mitigate damage. But that teleporter
it's kind
one
of
is
shadow
not
shadow form for 5 seconds. And I'm trying to explain for the people who don't know.
Yeah, it's like shadow form. Good point. It doesn't become obvious at the top of playing that character why E is important, but that's what's interesting about this game. There are lots of things like that in it where you're like, well, when is this trap really going to do me any good? People can always see it, but when can I use it? And you start finding very creative moments where you're like, oh, I can teleport right behind that Bastion. He's very exposed back there, A, and B, he doesn't even know I'm there at the moment. Like, you can really mess him up.
Reaper is terrible from long range. You have to get in close to people, so the ability to just get right where they are, mm-hmm. and then you just suddenly pop up. And it takes a second, and people might notice you. But I've noticed most of the time, people get very focused on, like, the best players are going to, like, be constantly checking their surroundings. Mm-hmm. But most people are just kind of like, they're focused in on who they're shooting, mm-hmm. who they're trying to kill. And with Reaper, that's why you can get real tricky with him.
Yeah.
You realize someone is kind of like got their sights on someone, and you just get behind that person and kill them. And that and Tracer, very similar kind of gameplay.
She's great.
Where you, like, Tracer is like the ultimate, like, Patrick, you just mentioned Bastion might be a little OP right now. And he is very, like, he gets that shield up and he's doing so much damage, it's ridiculous. But all you gotta do is just have a Tracer on your team, and Tracer could just lock down Bastion. Bastion can never do anything. Because mm-hmm. Tracer just gets right behind Bastion every single time.
Yeah. The Blizzard rock, paper, scissors thing is totally in effect.
It's happening like hardcore in this game.
And I don't want to overemphasize this, but I know that there are TF2 longtime veteran players listening to this right now and go, well, duh, Scott and Dills and Patrick, we understand what it means to counter because we've had this class-based shooter for a long time. And I would say you're right. And this totally owes some of its lineage to that. What I'm talking about is an iteration on that that takes it to the next level and blows it out and takes you into a place where a whole lot more can be done than just a set of 5 classes. We're talking about variations of classes that seem similar but have differences that are very unique.
Well, essentially, there's 4 classes and 4 options within each class.
Yeah, to me, it's like League of Legends. It's like League of Legends, one map. Okay, that's all everyone plays on is this one map. And then going to Heroes where they've got 8 maps in a rotation. It's like that, but with characters, where you just suddenly have variation that is subtle enough, interesting enough, and in some cases drastic enough to make Game ever feels the same. There's never the same strategies being deployed.
I wouldn't call the differences subtle at this point. Maybe it's going to come if they add more characters, but honestly, at this point, every character is incredibly defined, incredibly different from every other character. And it's got some of that, you know, for World of Warcraft, they were mentioning in some interviews a while ago the concept of concentrated coolness. They wanted each class to have an excellent feel and a very specific type of gameplay. And I think we've all had that moment when we've seen a class we weren't playing and thinking, oh my God, that class has this ability or that thing that I really would love to play. It feels like it would be super badass and super rewarding and fun to play. And in Overwatch, they all also feel like that, but there's what, 20 different characters, maybe more? Mm-hmm. And all of them have like two or three different abilities that feel awesome. You know, for example, for Zarya, she's a tank and she can do a bunch of different things. She can help other characters by putting shields on them. She can shield herself. She has another grenade launcher. She has a death ray that's short range. So each character has like two or three really cool abilities that feel good to use, and if you use properly, you can feel like the biggest badass there is. I remember we were talking about Reaper. He's definitely one of the coolest, you know, the easy to get, like, I am death kind of character. If you manage to teleport at the right place at the right time and use his death blossom that kills everything around him, you feel like the most awesome character, you know, player there is. And it's not hard to do. It's just about strategy rather than Twitch ability.
That's a really good point, because you're thinking way more about position and tactics than I ever do in other shooters, where it's just focused on how good are you getting the reticule over a head. And you mentioned here's a good combination for you. Let's say you've got three bastions down at the base of some choke point, giving you total hell. There's nobody can get through there. The roofs are covered by all Farrah. They got two Farrahs up there just cleaning house, and then you got all these bastions down below. If I come in there with Junkrat, I have a real cool advantage. I am lobbing grenades four at a time, five at a time, whatever it is, one after another, over this bridge and into that fray down there where they think they've created basically an impenetrable wall of bastions. And 9 times out of 10, I'm killing bastion after bastion doing that. And I'm clearing the way for everybody else to get in there. Those grenades are chaotic. You don't know where they're coming from. They're bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, the fact that they can bounce off walls and stuff too is really important.
Yeah, and here's my favorite thing to do. So I can do a bunch of that. I'm ricocheting. I'm building up points for my Q ability, my ultimate, which is that remote tire thing. Then if I get the remote tire and we've got like a troublesome Reinhardt or something, who also very hard to kill, I can kill him and anyone standing around him with one of those tires. So a tactic of me coming up to a choke point going, I know what needs to be done here, lobbing grenades until I've built that up, sending in a tire, taking that guy out, means we have now run past that and they're having to regroup, respawn, and figure out a better way to defend. Like, it's really, it feels so good. And that happens constantly in the game.
Everybody has this ultimate ability that is incredibly powerful and does a lot of things. So similar to what I think their philosophy was in Hearthstone, like, whether you win or lose the game, you want to feel like you had some cool moments.
Yeah.
You always feel like you had some really cool moments. I've been playing a lot of Mercy too lately, and when your ability awesome. Is to just res, like, you could res basically everyone who's dead at the moment who's within that timer, right? So basically, and from anywhere on the map, so you don't have to be near them. Sometimes you res like two or three people, and that just changes, that completely switches the flow of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And guys who are supposed to be dead and have a long run back time are now suddenly like back in the fight, and you're standing on the objective and you win the game and you're like, I did it.
Yep.
You know? And like, those are the kind of moments that make this game, I think, just exceptional.
Guess
and
what
a
is
lot, every character can do it.
And guess what's scary as shit? When that res goes off and you suddenly in front of you see on the other, let's say you're on the opposing team, and you see either Roadhog or Reinhardt or one of these big beastie characters, you suddenly see them rise from the ground
back up.
And they're glowing like they've got like some, like they've been stimmed in Heroes and they're just ready to clobber you. There's nothing quite like that. You're like, holy shit, I just spent all this time killing these guys. All right, back up, regroup. Yeah. We got to figure this out. Like those moments are all the time, both on the winning and the losing. They all feel epic. So, all right, let's talk about.
I think we have to explain also what Mercy does for people who don't know, because it's also something. I mean, for people who are FPS fans, I think they know everything there is to know about this game already. For other people, it's really intimidating to think maybe I want to get into it. It's a Blizzard game, and I'm interested, but. Again, am I going to get something out of it if I'm not an FPS fan? Mercy is an excellent example. I think she's the most extreme example of we're going to give you stuff to do even if you can't shoot people in the head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you just need to be aiming like near the person and it will get the heal on them. That's right. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So it's a concept, basically like the medic in TF2, you heal or buff the person that's in front of you, and you aim in a general direction. She also has a gun that she can shoot stuff with if you want to, but most of the time she's going to be healing. But the key ability for her is that her shift ability, which is usually a movement thing, it will zoom her to another player. It's like the one in WoW. It's basically I can't remember how it's called.
Leap of faith or whatever it is. Like, but it's, rather than like dragging them to you, you go to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Right.
And it looks like great. It looks heroic when she does it. Too.
Yeah. And cool. So what that means, she has basically a 4-second cooldown on that. So a good Mercy will be, I made that analogy on Overwatchers. Basically, she's going to be a priest from WoW on speed. She's going to be zooming across the battlefield all the time. Like she's going to be going from one to the other to the other. And it feels very active. And it feels like you're keeping your whole team up without ever shooting at anything. And again, this also can completely change the way the game goes. So yeah, she is super fun to play as well.
She's great. All right. So let's talk about our favorite, maybe our top three characters, the ones we always go to. I think we've covered enough, but it doesn't. All right. Sorry. There's so much to say. It's hard for me to want to skip past any of this, but like, I cannot say enough about the visuals in the game. It is very stylized and very looks like a game that'll last a very long time visually. They've aimed for that, and it works that way. I wouldn't call it cartoony, but it definitely has a very unique sort of art style to it. But it is so fluid on maximum everything. If you get like a 9 or a decent video card, you're not going to have any trouble running this game. They're making it pretty broad. The specs have been released. You can kind of look those up and see what's going on in terms of minimum requirements as they stand today. But fluid, fast, 60 frames per second minimum. I don't feel like I'm getting any latency regardless of what the actual latency is. There's a real feeling of meaty hits and getting hit. And when you land, there's great sound work. Like, I just want to make it clear here that once again, Blizzard has made a beta that feels more polished than a 3 years been released game that they're still tweaking. It is very polished, very shiny, very clean, very fast. The UI is just, I think, impeccable. Surely we'll see changes to a lot of these things, as we always do. They're still iterating, but at this current stage, it feels like a finished damn game. And all we're really missing is like,
but it's missing everything else. Like, so it's similar to like what the Heroes alpha and beta was like, where the game itself, the gameplay itself felt very polished, but there's like no options really. Like you can change your key bindings. You can change some, whatever. There's one type of game. There's very limited stuff socially. They have a voice thing that keeps kind of going in and out of whether it's working or not, but it's there. They're trying. That's good.
When it works, it sounds great.
But there's a lot of stuff that's just like, once the game is out, that's when we'll have all like the features and the thing and the different ways to play the game and all that kind of stuff, but right now it's like they've concentrated on one thing, and that's just make the game work really smoothly, make in-game feel really, really polished and nice and good. All the graphics are there. Lots of like little things to interact with the map. Very cool maps, lots of little hidden areas and all. So that's all like really You can tell they concentrated on that a lot.
I watched the guy.
It's bare bones outside.
It totally is.
Yeah, there's no progression of any kind. I know that's a question that comes back a lot. Mm-hmm. You can't level up your, not even, you know, for abilities, but your characters for anything. There's no quests to, like, I'm thinking about Heroes and Hearthstone where, you know, maybe that's getting ahead of ourselves.
Well,
it's probably going to be free to play, and you're probably going to have daily tasks to do or weekly tasks and progression and skins and stuff like that. And there's none of that.
Yeah, when Patrick says it's not there, he means it's not there yet, because we already have from some data mining, which we'll get to in a minute. We kind of are starting to see what that's going to shape up to be. But the main thing for me is yes, we're getting the core gameplay here. We're getting the characters, the animation, the quality, the whatever that we can expect, but it's a beta, and in betas they put stuff out.
It's weird to me, like, how many people are expecting Blizzard betas to be like miracles of modern technology, like, because I'm like seeing some people like talking, they're like, this isn't even in the game. I'm like, dude, what?
Yeah,
like day three of the beta.
Yeah,
what do you expect?
People don't understand. We all got kicked from servers yesterday, so we ended up playing.
Yeah,
Heroes
all this stuff's gonna happen. This is par for the course.
And when that happens, people are like, "Oh, I can't believe these servers crashed already, man. Good luck, Blizzard." I'm like, no, they brought it down to do some like load. Like, this is a beta, and people get real weird about. Maybe the industry is default a little bit, because there's a lot of pay to play our betas, or, you know, it's,
well, the early access stuff on Steam is like something I totally just kind of avoid nowadays, because it's gotten kind of weird.
But do it when somebody gives me a really strong recommendation. Like, someone will say, look, this thing's almost finished. It's very polished. They're listening to the thing. But if I don't hear that kind of feedback, then they're not getting my money yet.
By the way, do we know what the pay model is going to be? Because the way it seems to me is it's just going to be a free-to-play game, and then later on there'll be, like, stuff to buy.
Well,
and every hero will be unlocked.
Let's talk about some of this data mining. We can shift things around. Right. Some of that happened. There is something in the game, and this doesn't exactly answer that question yet. Nobody really knows what their pay model is going to be, but an internal currency that is currently called Brill Bucks is present in the client. Nobody knows what that means. Lots of people are speculating, and some are freaking out, thinking that sounds like a terrible free-to-play currency. I don't know, but along with that, there's these other weird things that were data mined. Guild and Guild Officer are mentioned in the code. Console authentication, which I don't think any of us are surprised this will end up on console at some point.
There's controller support with aim assist. I think it's a given. Well, not a given, but it would be very surprising if it didn't come out on consoles. It would be unsurprising if they announced a partnership with Microsoft, actually, at BlizzCon. There's a lot of rumblings about, you know, there's this streaming partnership thing. And so maybe even an Xbox One exclusive. This is all speculation, but free-to-play is... I would be incredibly surprised if it wasn't free-to-play, and I would be incredibly surprised if it didn't come out on consoles.
Yeah, both
but
those
do
things
you think
are
then if they did that, they would charge for the console, or do you think it would be like some sort of a downloadable?
It'd probably be another free-to-play. It's just like they do with...
No, like, I feel like
they have lots of those.
I mean, I've seen it where, like, there's different prices console, but, like, you know, Rocket League is a great example. That's a free game if you have... well, you have to pay for the service.
No,
but
it was...
But like,
well, it was only for a month.
It's only free for PlayStation Plus subscribers in August.
Yeah, it was just August.
No, but just in August.
You get others.
Now you have to pay.
You pay for it. That was only a month-long thing. It was one of their promotions.
But, I mean, it's not like there's no precedence for there to be a price difference.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But also, there's precedence for sure for things like... what's that other shooter, Patrick, that's a lot like Destiny? I always forget that. Warframe. Warframe's on PC. Warframe's on PS4. It's free in both places. Overload, or whatever the hell that shooter's called. I can't remember. It's got similar. It's actually kind of similar in art style to this, but that thing's on all platforms, all free to play. So consoles are all in on that. It's just the question is whether or not they'll try to make a deal with somebody, because, you know, Blizzard saying they're going to come exclusively to your platform is a pretty big deal. That's perhaps a console seller.
It's possible that Microsoft might be trying to deal something like that, maybe a timed exclusive. Even the strings that were found in the data mining included PlayStation as well. So it's not like there's only Xbox on there. Mm-hmm. But it could help Microsoft, who's behind on install base at the moment.
Yeah.
So they could shell out a little bit of money, maybe even just for a timed exclusive.
Well, it could only be a money thing, a money exchange.
Going to be a money thing. If Blizzard is going to restrict their game coming out on console on just one, you can be sure that
someone paid for that.
That's a good point. By the way, aim assist is removed during the last hotfix. Nobody knows why, but using that for your controller.
It was, so basically the problem with aim assist, I don't know that it was completely removed, but the problem was some people were enabling it even though they weren't using controllers. That's why. Okay. They were hacking the thing already.
Oh, really? Wow. All right.
Yeah. It's the aim assist is something that I think is slightly needed with controllers. I mean, if you've ever played like any shooter, like if you use a controller, it is so much more difficult to try to actually put that target on somebody.
Oh, it's awful.
It's ridiculous with a mouse.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure it'll be great on console because everyone's in the same boat. But, you know, when you try to split that base, it's a little bit weird.
People hacking already. Jesus.
I think there's a lot of people are asking, and it was funny, Kaplan has been on fire on the forums. He's been answering here and there, you know, everywhere at the same time, basically, on the beta forums. I think he's been having some, frustration from not having posted on the WoW forums since he left the team, and he's been like, "All right, now I'm gonna completely unload."
Yeah, he basically disappeared for years, and now suddenly he is all up in it again, which is great.
And it was funny. He was saying, "So we're gonna remove the aim assist in a patch. I think it was yesterday." And I don't know if it's completely removed or just for keyboards anyway, if they fix it. But he was saying, like, in the meantime, we would appreciate if players didn't use this feature, quote unquote. They're being, you know, good sports.
Yeah, of course. And they, you know, like any of these things, it's a little rocky the first week, and they got to be on all hands on deck and figure out what's going on. Here's some interesting stuff, references to progression in the data mine. Unlock spray, unlock skin theme. These are all referenced to unlock play the game, unlock portrait frame, master weapon, hero trophy, avatar portrait, unlock list, and then next unlock. So basically, these all indicate progression. And it's a Blizzard game. Of course there is. There's going to be some kind of.
They're
going
to get you to come back every day and play your daily and do the thing that, you know, will get you a little bit more. What was it? Brill bucks.
Yeah.
To buy that character without shelling out money. Of course, it would be very strange again if there wasn't something.
I don't think they're going to have buying characters at all. I really don't see that.
So you don't think they go the heroes model? I want to hear more about this.
Because of the fact that you can switch characters during the game and all that, I think they're going to want everyone to have access to all the characters. So that you could just freely do that, and then you just like spend money on other things.
Yeah,
it's just to me. I've actually even heard. I think I can't remember what it was, but there was an interview with somebody where they were talking about, we want everyone to be able to have access to all the characters.
Yeah.
But it's to me, it makes sense. Like that makes a lot of sense.
Well,
you have this free like switching throughout games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To be limited to, I don't know, two or three characters means you're just like holding your team back.
Well, maybe they go the skin route. Which is basically the hat route from TF2 or skins in Dota 2, the way the Valve handled things where all the characters are available.
Yeah, you change your gun. You got to change your gun. That's like, I think, number one. Yeah. You can have the coolest gun and you pay for that. That'll get people to pay for it.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
I'm curious, though. You really think, like, if they give 20 characters from the get-go and then they add characters to that, you don't think they would make people pay for that?
I don't think you can do that because then you're talking about like pay to win. Yeah, and that's gonna get really.
You're right, but I feel like they have to go with precedence.
Character and you're that character the entire game.
Yeah,
the fact that you could switch and stuff in the middle to change the strategy to try to counter the opponent's strategy, like. That I don't think you can have that mechanic.
Patrick, this is why they do it.
Oh, but you don't have
this. This is why I agree with Dills. First of all, the switching mid-game thing does make a ton of sense. But also, there's precedence out there. All the other shooters that are in the free-to-play mode, this is what they've decided to do. Now, they could go against that grain and try something new, but I don't think it works. What they did with Heroes is a lot like what they do with League of Legends. It's almost identical in terms of the monetary way that's handled. Dota is the weird one with its free hats, and they're free characters and then buy skins. And I think they hope that becomes the dominant way people would prefer to play it and have access to all those characters. But I kind of agree. If TF2 and the other popular team shooters out there were already doing a free-to-play model that involved buying the characters, they would do that. But I don't think they can.
I'm not buying the first. I'm not buying either of those logical reasonings. First of all, everyone else is doing it, so they're going to do the same. Doesn't hold for anyone, and even less for Blizzard, I don't think.
Let me clarify that real quick. I don't think it's that everyone's doing it, so we better do that. I don't think the Blizzard's ever worked that way. I don't mean that. I'm just saying that players have a certain expectation. For example, Heroes could have been a $69 retail game with some other expansion stuff tacked onto it. Well, why didn't they do that? Well, because the model has proven out in the industry, so they adhered to their version of basically the same model. So I don't think it's that crazy.
And that's a model that makes people pay for stuff. And I think that in the case of Overwatch, there would be, maybe a wider amount of heroes available from the get-go. And they're trying to get an audience that is maybe not just 14 to 18-year-old kids that have lightning-fast reflexes. They want to get the people who are playing WoW or Hearthstone to try FPSs. And they're people who are maybe a little bit older on average, who have a little bit more money. And if you have 20 characters available from the get-go, so wide selection already, and you do include other characters that are balanced, and that's the pay-to-win thing that I'm not buying either. If they are balanced, they're just a different way of playing, and you add a bunch of those on top of the 20 already available characters, I think people are going to pay for them, and that is going to make more money for Blizzard, and they absolutely want money. So,
okay. So I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think we should make this. Let's just go ahead and lay down the prediction. Let's say, Patrick thinks you're going to pay per character. I think you're going to pay for skins and add-ons and stuff. Dills, where are you at with this?
Yeah, no, I think all characters will be free. I think everything gameplay related will just be free.
I think either that. So here's my two options are that or so it's cosmetics or. And boosters and things like that for XP or whatever.
No, that's the yeah.
Yeah, they'll always do that.
XP boosters, you'll be able to buy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you'll get the day all that ways.
There's plenty of ways to squeeze money out of the.
I think they do all of that, or it's a $50 game and they go the old way. I'm not saying they will. I think that's the less likely scenario, but I don't think Patrick's flies. I don't think you pay $10 a hero when it's a shooter where you can change. I think the changing of characters mid match is a huge factor here that we're not considering.
Well, to be honest. Heroes changed the way that MOBAs worked, and it hasn't worked out that well, honestly. Like, yes, the game is amazing. We love the game. But it's not like they've really bitten a huge chunk out of any of the other MOBAs. And I don't think they expect it to necessarily, but, if it had been like the Dota model, where you just get all the characters and then you spend money on other stuff, might have seen more people come over.
Yeah, so or quicker anyway.
I think the numbers the other day, somebody said that. Somebody posted the numbers, someone had data mined, and it's something like 4 million players total across like all of the regions. Mm-hmm. And like that's small in mobile land,
Yeah.
So, and obviously, yes, it's new, so it's of course it's going to be smaller.
Sure.
Because I don't think people play multiple MOBAs, right? So if you're already a League player, you're probably just going to stick with League. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the people playing Heroes are like newer mobile players. But, I think that when they didn't do that, it was like maybe slightly a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that this is another opportunity for them. Like this time they might try something different.
Yeah.
You're convincing me a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't know. This is all just like
pure speculation.
What I think as the game feels like, it feels to me like having access to all the characters is going to be really important in this game.
Yeah. The one thing that makes me think Patrick might be onto something would be the Brillbucks revelation does lead me to think, well, all right, that's like Golden Heroes, so you could buy things by grinding gold.
Well, it sounds like you're just gonna be able to buy Brillbucks and then spend it on stuff.
May be, but if the Brillbucks are like Golden Heroes, you're grinding it out and you can buy that hero for 10,000 gold or you can spend $10 on it.
I'm
trying to figure out what else the Brillbucks are for. If they did the Dota 2's TF2 model, you don't need those anymore. Like,
oh, maybe they're gonna go a route of everything can be bought with in-game currency, including, the skins, the spray, everything.
The characters, everything. It's possible. So I don't know. We don't know enough, and that stuff's obviously data mined. That Brillbucks is kind of a dumb name anyway. Maybe that's not even a real name. A lot of this stuff is like fake names to throw people off. Like, we shouldn't get too excited about any of it, but it's
interesting. It's also a lot of the development. You know, they've been doing the company alpha for a while. They've been developing for a while. There might be stuff that was in previous iterations of the game that they haven't removed, or yeah, it's all speculation.
Yeah, and the customization stuff does seem to hold out in terms of, you know, at least skin stuff. So some of the other stuff that came out of this were skin themes or customized skin theme, customized skin. When they say customize, that's interesting because that's not just swap it out and be a different dude, at least on the surface of it. That may mean change the gun, the head, the helmet, the arms, the feet, the back, the color maybe. You know, like all of that sounds like there's more to the skinning than just, hey, it's a different version of your dude.
Yeah, all that being said, if they made this game $60, I would just shell out $60 day one.
Of course you would.
And I just play all the games.
And all this, like, thing say, being yeah. said, I would probably yeah. I know
and
what
I would probably pay $10 a character too if that's what it was. Like, yeah. I like the game a lot, and you know, I whatever they choose, I'm going down that path.
Yeah, I feel like this is funny because we're the choir in this case, and it doesn't yeah. matter what their monetary thing is. I feel like yeah. whatever it'll be at least somewhere in the reasonable range of what I will be willing to do, and that's all I really ask. So
I think for us, you know, we're going to pay out whatever they want us to pay. That's we're not the core, yeah. you know, we're not the general audience. They have to think of people who are not Blizzard nuts who are going to buy anything they put out. So there's a lot of those too.
But. So let's figure out where we're all at with favorite characters. Right now, here's my list. And then let's do top three for each of us. It's Junkrat, it's Roadhog, and it's Reaper for me. Three very, even though one's kind of a tank, one's kind of defense. They all feel very offensive to me, and not offensive, but offensive. I really enjoy the way that they play, and it just speaks to my style of play. So it doesn't mean that any of the other characters aren't fun for me. I like them. I actually have yet to play something I don't like. I tried playing DJ and don't really know what the hell I'm doing with him. He's really hard to figure out. I call him. Yeah. I keep calling him DJ.
But he's just healing people near him. That's really the deal. Like, the main thing. You're just shooting stuff. But you're just stay near people and you're healing them.
Yeah, you're healing people and you're
speed
buff.
Or giving them a buff, a movement speed buff.
Yeah, which is...
Speed buff.
Which is considerable, by the way, that speed buff.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So you switch it back and forth between those two buffs, and it is really good to, like, get to another point or to get away from something or...
Don't you think they would benefit down the road? Okay, so the tutorial of this thing is Soldier 76, and he's pretty straightforward, and it's great that he's the core tutorial. It makes sense to me that he's the guy. And the tutorial is real simple. If you're a big-time shooter fan, you probably don't even need to do it. But it gives you the ins and outs and how this stuff works. That's all great and fine. I look forward to the day, possibly, where each character gets that treatment. Because what I've seen is, what's his name? Rubio? Ravio? What's his name?
Lucio.
Yeah, Marco Rubio. When he's skating around and doing his thing, a lot of other players that I'm playing with, I see them turn at me when I'm down on health and start shooting at me because they think that's healing me. It's not that clear is all I'm saying with him, and I'm not saying everything.
People are trying to use the sound gun to shoot their own players.
Yeah, they'll shoot. I see that a lot.
They think it's like mercy.
If they're new, right? They don't know, and so it takes a while for them to figure it out. It's not immediately obvious in the UI what you're doing. So I think it would benefit from some character specific training.
Characters. Well, I think we're going to see that. I think at this point we have the simplest tutorial there is. But it even said it when you did it. That this is a really basic tutorial and this is not the completed version of this.
Yeah.
I think in the end, we're going to have a tutorial for each character that's going to outline what they're...
Which, by the way, was already more polished than most game tutorials. I just want to point that out. Like, they say it's half-assed,
really,
but...
Much, though.
They didn't really, but it looked like it worked really well.
No, it looked cool, but it didn't... Like, what did it really teach you? It was like, here, shoot stuff.
You
have another way to shoot stuff.
Move around.
Use your mouse to look around. Yeah. Use your keyboard to move around. It was shoot things here.
It was super basic, but it had like VO. It had like some.
I think they're going to keep that. I'm not sure we're going to see a tutorial per character. We might, but I think this is the. Well, I don't know. We'll see. But there are definitely characters that are a lot more difficult to use. I think there's a rating, like easy to hard, with 1, 2, 3 stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Lucio is absolutely one of the hardest to understand. But I hated it when I first tried it. And now I kind of like him. He's got a lot of different... His weapon can actually do a lot of damage. I've seen Lucio's healing teams and actually being super offensive offensive, not offensive. and I'm kind of liking his music thing. I thought it was the stupidest thing ever when they introduced the character. I thought it didn't fit in the Overwatch universe. I thought it looked silly. Yeah. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, something with the beat, which is something he says that American would know.
Yeah.
You know, drop the bass, like stuff. It's like the music starts pumping up.
Yeah. And he's goofy, but he fits. He's goofy, but he fits.
Well, but so he's supposed to be, though, the easy, like, yeah, it's hard to get like what he's doing, but he's supposed to be the easy mode healer because he's healing passively.
Yeah.
Like that I believe is his niche is like, you don't have to be, because while Mercy doesn't have to aim, it's actually really difficult to constantly be like finding the person who needs healing and getting to them really quick and finding a pathway to them, not dying yourself as you're trying to get to like a tank who's like in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
Finding places to hide while you're healing. I've found Mercy gameplay to be much more difficult than I'm basically just trying to shoot people and stay kind of near people and I'm healing them just while I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Like he more feel, you know, just that aura effect type of thing. And I haven't tried the monk guy with the balls. But I hear Zenyatta. He's the hardest one. I hear he's the hardest healer
to play.
Yeah. Hard, but fun to watch, man. That guy's just some weird shit.
Really effective, apparently. But yeah, I looked at people playing him, and I was like, I don't know what the hell that guy is doing.
Yeah.
I have no idea if it's helping or not, but whatever.
Now, a lot of players are hearing us talk about how complicated some of these are, and it's piquing their interest. Because that's one thing I want people to understand. There are characters that are kind of a nice on-ramp into this game so you can get right in and play and have a good time. But there are some clearly with enough nuance and complexity that they're going to challenge you at first. And I like that they've not shied away from that. They've made that a part of a game that otherwise could have just been, well, they all sort of shoot and they all sort of, or some are bigger, some are smaller or whatever, but, I think
they have a problem with branding, though. They have a problem because they made Tracer the key character in the game. She was the character with which, they introduced the game. She's on all the cinematics and everything. And she's really hard to play. And that's why they gave you Soldier 76, who in the tutorial, who is basically the basic of everything. He can shoot a what's it called?
Assault rifle, essentially.
An assault rifle.
Shift makes him sprint, which is what every shooter does,
Exactly. He sprints, he has a little bit of healing, he has a rocket launcher on a cooldown. So he's the average everything, and he's a lot easier to get into. I think a lot of people are going to get in the game, try Tracer, and go, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. I completely agree. I haven't done her very much at all because of that feeling I have with her. I just like, what am I? I'm just a little weirdo spazoid and I don't know what I'm doing.
She's super cool.
She's super awesome. You know, I've seen people do things with her that turn the entire game around. Like there's, and every character seems to possess somewhat that ability. But all right. But the chat room keeps reminding me that you guys haven't given me your top three. So, Patrick, what's your top tier three? If you had to pick him,
I want to say Reinhardt is one of my three for sure. He's the one that puts up the huge shield, and you go up in third person when you put the shield up, and the shield can basically be up all the time.
Yeah.
It's super excellent for protection and to get your friends to progress. And what I also love is that you're protecting everyone, but then you do that rocket, I don't know, slide thing. And you pin people down and you're like, you wreck them completely. And it's super effective against turrets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he can be played really aggressively. And that's something people don't realize. He can wreck an entire team if you play him.
Oh, so, yeah. And he's so hard to kill. My gosh. He is probably the bane of my existence. Him and Bastion, partly because they both have these shields, but When in the hands of good characters, they're just like freaking murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really like him. I really like Pharah. It's a toss between Pharah and Reaper. The offensive characters, characters have a lot. They have another, you know, there's a lot of meta gameplay elements. So the offensive characters have a lot of verticality to them, which a lot of the others don't have. Like Pharah and Reaper are going to be, actually she's a sniper, but Widowmaker, they're going to go up on ledges. And being aware of the verticality of the levels is going to make you a 100% better player. So anyway, Pharah, super cool. She's the mech woman that sort of jumps into the air and throws She has a rocket launcher and stuff like that.
She's basically flying Samus, in my opinion. She's like flying Samus from Metroid.
Yeah. And the last one, I'm going to say not Zenyatta, Symmetra, the one with the teleporter and with the turrets, the little laser turrets, because those things, if you place them well, you are going to F people up. And they're going to be like, you get them behind the place where people have to go so that they don't see the turrets. But when they get there, they get, you know, they don't realize what's shooting at them. And by the time they realize, they're dead. So I managed once to go deep into the enemy base and put up a teleporter and protect the teleporter with the turrets. And people were, first of all, they didn't realize she was there. So all of my team was spawning there, you know, teleporting there in the middle of the base. And then when they tried to destroy the teleporter, they were getting the turrets killing them. So, and you can buff people with your with a shield. So you're helping there as well. And she has a gun that is basically you aim in the general direction of the enemy and it just finds it. So she's really, anyway.
I like her a lot too. Dills, who are your top three?
Well, I was having a lot of struggles early on with just the twitchiness of the game, and I hadn't played FPS, and like, really the last FPS I played was like GoldenEye. Like seriously, like that I actually played like a lot of.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that skill set was just not working out for me. And then I found Bastion and I was like, oh, okay. So if I strategically find places to siege up, I can just destroy people. And so like finding little spots and stuff to just kind of go into my turret mode and just blow the hell up. He does insane amounts of damage. It's a like a minigun with 200 bullets that just like kills everything in its path.
Yeah, he's really good. He also scares the shit out of me when I hear that. And he turns into a tank, and then I'm dead.
And then, the tank mode is pretty good. But it's funny, like, the tank mode, it's great for situations where you could just, like, take out a whole bunch of people that you couldn't really get to any other way. Mm-hmm. But I've actually found that it's not much more damage than just the normal turret mode. The turret mode is insane.
It just gives you this crazy mobility, and I feel
you're
like...
you're mobile during it, yes.
And I end up with the worst experiences when he does that. I die every time. If I hear that, I get the hell out of there. Because for whatever reason, that's
he,
like...
He does a sick amount of damage, and it just the actual where the grenades, like, land, they blow up in a huge swath. Like, it just takes up, like, a giant space.
Yeah.
So him, I really liked Mercy. Mercy, I found to just be very challenging and really interesting. Just zooming all over the place and healing everybody is entertaining as hell.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, I did play a lot of Junkrat, and I really liked him, too, but... I guess I just haven't quite gotten the hang of that tire. But everything else about him is just really fun.
Yeah.
Like just lobbing grenades into spots is really, really fun.
I've had really good luck with the tire. What I've spent a lot of time doing strategically, for those who maybe have the beta and want to try this, but because you can shoot it down real easy if you see it coming.
Actually blow up the tire. Like, I've seen the tire coming at me as I'm bashing, and I just blow it up.
Yeah, it's not hard to kill if you're paying attention, and it's not super fast or anything. It's like tracer fast or something. But so you can kill it, and that's a great counter to what it does because the damage is brutal. And if you can get in somewhere and hit somebody,
kills everything.
Yeah, I'll take Reinhardt and another huge guy down in one shot. So what I do is a lot of the backdoor ways to get around. So like there'll be some off to the side hallway and it might challenge the timing because it does have a timer on it. It will eventually blow up on its own. So I'll try to kind of go back and around somebody, and I can't tell you how many times I've come around the rear and just destroyed fools with that freaking thing. And it makes me scream.
It's good for when you are stuck at a choke point and there's a bunch of guys set up and you just can't really deal with them. You can just roll around the other way and just blow them all up. And then suddenly it's like, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
People in chat are wondering why no one picked Hanzo. Well, Hanzo's really difficult.
Yeah, very hard.
Yeah.
And so it's, as much as I liked him, I played him a bunch. As much as I liked him, I mean, climbing up walls and all that stuff, it's just so hard to aim those arrows in the correct spot. When you hit, they do so much damage, though. And the ability to give your team sight is really powerful. Mm-hmm. He also has the ability to shoot an arrow that then... like explodes into a bunch of arrows that ricochet around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find like small areas where people are hiding and you shoot that arrow into there, it's going to bounce around and usually kill them. So he is a very powerful hero. I think he's just really difficult to get used to.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, like there you are a number. Cock your arrow when you move really slow, mm-hmm. so you have to like wait to cock your arrow before like when you get somewhere. And yeah.
He's a skilled player for sure.
It's yeah, you gotta get some getting used.
His ultimate though is scary as hell.
Oh no, it's great. Yeah.
Holy
it's,
crap! You see that thing?
It's easy to get out of.
Though. Yeah, but you hear that sound.
It depends though, Patrick, because if you're in like an enclosed area and it comes through the wall, there's no getting out of that. Like
that's true.
It goes
true.
Through everything.
It's really it's intense.
I love how they all have like ridiculous accents from their country of origin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the French woman is sometimes they speak French and sometimes they speak English with a French accent. I'm not sure. I'm wondering if it doesn't speak with the accent from your local client. If you're playing in French, she's going to say stuff in French.
Oh, weird.
Have you heard, for example, Widowmaker say stuff in French, or is she always speaking English?
Well, I always thought she was. My understanding was she was German, but you're right, she's French. And now that I think about it, I don't think I've heard her say. I've heard her say things in English, but I don't think I've ever heard her say anything in French.
Because I've heard her say stuff in French, and it's weird. But when she speaks English, she's like, I don't even remember what she says. But basically, she has an accent like this. And she speaks with a very strong French accent.
Yeah.
And
does she say check out my side boob? Does she say that a lot?
She says you're gonna die right now, okay. Mother effer.
All right.
Yeah. Without kind of the same effer. Thing.
Yeah.
This is the same connotation.
Yeah. She's pretty great. I don't play snipers very much in games because I am just terrible at being a sniper.
Oh, she's hard to play as well. I mean, there are a bunch of heroes that look super cool, but like Hanzo and Widowmaker and. I don't know who else. Zenyatta, they're really hard to play. Like, you get in and you're like, all right, I need a little bit more training with the game in general before I can get into the specifics of that character.
Yeah, and not only that, look, congratulations to Blizzard, though, because what they did is they said there is a huge portion of FPS aficionados out there that really do like precision play. So let's give them some characters that really reward that. And that's what they've done with those three. Those are very precision-based characters. So if you're worried about getting into this and it's all just chaos grenades, no, it's not. It's this really great mix of a lot of things.
I think we should explain how this works because some people are, and I kind of want to touch on this too. So the fact that you can change heroes in the middle or change, I don't know, what are we calling them?
We're calling them heroes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, they are.
So the fact that you can change them in the middle of a game is really important. It's 6-on-6. And the other important thing to note is that you can be multiples of this, like there could be 4 bastions on one time on one team.
Oh yeah, you can do whatever you
and
want. Yeah.
Now this to some people I could tell is making them a little bit concerned, because nobody's really it's not common for games to work this way, right? In competitive settings.
Well, shooters
sort of
have always
drafting.
Yeah, but shooters have always done this. Like,
well,
MOBAs,
I mean,
if you think about
what shooters really are in most cases, no one's a class anyway. Like, they're just using a different gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's most of the time. Then you got TF2 where you could be different classes and have different guns, so you could kind of like alter who you were within your class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could be multiples of the same thing in that
you
game.
You could, yeah. You could be 5 heavies if
and,
you wanted.
And I actually think it's important. I think that, for first of all, there's not that many heroes, so it adds more possible comps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a double Zenyatta comp is a thing. A double Bastion comp is a thing.
Sure.
So I think that should stay. I really like that. And
guaranteed
the fact
it'll stay
in the middle
is
actually builds a lot of strategy as well, because you can try to continue to counter and then you get some recounters, and then different portions of the game might require different comps, because like let's say you're trying to stand on the final spot, the final checkpoint, right, which is really difficult, and there's lots of areas around where they can get to you. You could go like multiple tank comps, and then suddenly the other team's going to have to deal with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually stand on it. Whereas if you could never change, you're going to get to a certain point where the flavor of the game changes and there's nothing you can do about it.
What they've created is a class-based shooter, even though they haven't limited it to like 4 or 5 classes. They basically said, here are 4 or 5 kinds of characters, but they all behave differently within those classes of defense, offense, or whatever. So they've kind of gone an extra step beyond most shooters. But generally speaking, team-based shooters, since the original freaking TF mod for Quake 1, back when it was just a mod by some Australian guy, it's always been true that you could have multiple grenaders, multiple heavies, multiple medics, and switch it up in between. So we're talking about that is actual gameplay precedence that I don't think Blizzard is interested in messing with. Now, they may create tournament modes down the road where they do a draft system, or, you know, they could do things in the competitive space, but I don't even think they'll do that. I think that this
They've integrated this in the makeup of the game. They've said it many times. It's after that, you can think about lots of different ways of playing the game, but it's certainly part of the basic of the game. And it does self-balance. I mean, if you want to go in and have six Widowmakers, you're going to do very poorly. And actually, the game tells you when you're composing the team, it tells you you have too few snipers, too few tanks, or, you know, just get more. Basically, you need at least one of each kind. And usually people always find one character that they like in the type that's missing. So it's rare to see teams that are completely unbalanced, unless it's, you know, a defense point where they want to have three bastions and be annoying as hell.
Yeah. And that's only pre-match that you get to get those reminders that, hey, you could use a few more damage. You could use a few more healing or whatever. In the middle of the game, it's all bets are off unless you're a coordinated five-man team with specific rules that you can't change or something.
I really do think, though, when we get to, like, pro games, it's going to be really cool when a team goes, you know, three Winstons to try to hold a point, and that's going to be a thing that the casters are going to talk about. They're going to be like, This is a weird strategy that most people don't try. Three Winstons, oh my God, and they're all ulting at the same time.
Yeah, they're going to have a name for it.
There's
going to
be some cool stuff like
that.
They'll
have a name for it. It'll be like, oh, they're aping the control point. There's three Winstons. That's called aping. Like, that's going to happen, dude.
I get why people are a little bit wary of this, but I think you have to just kind of let that go and go, this is how this game in particular works.
I think that people who are wary of it are only wary of it because they're coming from a MOBA. I really think that's true. If you're a Heroes player, and I'm not saying this wouldn't appeal to you because they're very much kind of MOBA qualities to a team-based shooter like this, especially with objectives and stuff. But they are coming from a perspective of a game, or they're coming to a game that they probably just haven't played enough of, because this is the way you play first-person shooters. It's never been any different. They're not going to change it today, and it's not broken. It's not a bad way to play video games. And the only difference between this and the way you used to play Unreal Tournament was, in Unreal Tournament, you made your own class by the way you played. I'm only going after rockets, and I'm only going after armor. I'm only going after sniper rifles, and I'm staying in this corner. So you kind of made your own game that way. Everyone had the same hit points, but you still sort of did that because you played to whatever your skills were. This is the same as that. It's just no different. I guess what I'm saying is people being surprised by that, that's like being surprised that you have to pay for gas for your car. If you grew up in a household where you never had to pay for your own gas, and suddenly you get out in the real world and go, what? You have to pay for your own gas? I think that's a bad idea. Well, no, it's just the way it is. People buy their own damn gas, for lack of a better comparison.
I love that comparison. We don't need any other comparison for anything ever.
It's a bad metaphor, which I'm known for, but still, you know, it's like, it seems like a weird expectation to think you're getting anything else, and that people have to lock in for that entire match with that one character is just... That seems foreign to FPS players. Absolutely foreign. So get it out of your heads, people at home.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen that way. And if that really bothers you, it might not be the game for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's
kind of like...
I was just gonna say this one thing. If you compare it to, say... Oh, I dropped my phone. Great. If you compare this to, say, Heroes, it makes sense not to have a team of all Jaina's for two reasons. One, they'd never get anywhere in the lanes. They would get... they'd have a really hard time against other comps or whatever. But they would also be too strong in other scenarios. You're capturing a capture point on the map. You're getting tribute. Having five Jaina's all dropping Blizzard at the same time will wreck everybody all at once. This isn't the same kind of movement, point of view, perspective, angle, pace. None of it is the same.
Yeah,
so to expect
much more
those,
liquid,
yeah, like, expecting those rules is a weird thing to expect. Anyway, Patrick, sorry, you were.
Talking. I forgot what I wanted to say.
Oh, sorry, dude. I should have done that. Okay. I didn't mean to do that.
I interrupt you all the time. It's fine.
Couple of tips here. If you want to get out of the replay cam, it's easy. Just hit escape. Just pop.
Why
out
would
there.
You want to do that?
But why do you want to get out of it? It gives you information. Yeah.
Because sometimes you're just ticked that guy killed you 8 times in a row.
Ugh, no. But what are you doing after you leave it? You're just sitting there like can't do anything?
I don't know.
You're spectating the other people in your team.
You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I don't
but
know.
You also
no, I
don't.
I want to watch the kill cam so I can see what the other team was doing to kill me, and then
they put it in so that people don't want to. Some people are just mad and they don't want to see themselves get killed again. That's all.
You're missing out on information.
I agree. I think strategically you probably don't want to do that, but there
maybe
are a lot
if
of...
you're Mercy and you get killed, you want to use the you want to escape so you can see where your teammates are.
Yeah. See, there you
I
go.
I can see that.
Yeah. See, you're always there. You go. Dill's always thinking strategically. He's always tactics. Always what it's on his mind. Also, I just wanted to mention. I think I have Hero's Hand, and let me explain. If you've been playing a lot of Heroes, it's Q-W-E-R, right? That's where your hand is all the time. That's where you're focused on your left hand. I have been a shooter fan forever, playing on keyboards forever. Played Quake that way all the way through current. For whatever reason, I think my hand being shifted up to Q-W-E and not WASD, W-A-S-D, for a long time has made my pinky think that caps lock is shift now. So when I'm hitting my shift ability, I'm hitting caps lock constantly.
Yeah,
two different
keyboards.
Oh my gosh, dude. And it's
but
not
I do
like
that
a...
when I play Heroes as well. Like at the end of every game of Heroes, I'm yelling at my teammates because I've hit caps lock at some point and I haven't noticed.
So annoying to me. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. Any other thoughts, feelings, anything we want to cover before we blow out of this very weird episode?
I think this game is going to be very, very successful. I realize that, you know, we're really into Blizzard games, so a lot of people are probably going to go, they just like Blizzard games. That's fair, but I don't think that really has anything to do with why I like this game. This game could be made by any company, and I would really like this game. It's not the kind of game I normally play, but this is like a great take on a first-person shooter, in my opinion.
I completely agree. Patrick, I know you're excited. That's all you've talked about all week.
Oh, my God. I'm super... It took me away from Destiny. That's how much I like the game. Mm. It's... I didn't expect to like it as much as I do, honestly. I mean, yeah, I've worked at Blizzard. I love old Blizzard games. We all do. But, for example, Heroes is not my thing. I've tried it. It's nice. It's okay. But... it's not my thing. This one, I don't know if it's going to stay my thing forever, but for now, oh boy, it is my thing. And I'm getting the same level of excitement that I was getting with Hearthstone when I first got into, you know, the company Alpha a couple of years ago. And I was like, I started playing it and people at the company were super annoyed with me because it was all I could talk about. I was like, oh, Hearthstone here, Hearthstone there. Hearthstone is awesome. We have to sell Hearthstone like crazy. And you know, people were like, oh, my God, shut up with Hearthstone already. We know. This is basically the same thing right now. So we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see whether that game enjoys the success at a level of Hearthstone or, you know, at a more moderate level if it does okay like Heroes. But personally, I'm loving it and I can't wait to see what they're going to do with everything that surrounds the game.
For me, it's I will echo everything you guys have said, and then I will just add to that this has revived one of my favorite areas of video games. I've been a shooter fan forever. I've loved it all. In recent years, I've gotten a little bored with military shooters and just kind of the way things have gone. This shift back to not whimsy, but sort of science fiction and amazing, crazy guns and interesting map mechanics. That is very interesting to me as a throwback to what I used to love. This is totally that. And then some for me, it's just gravy that it's Blizzard, because then I know the quality, the polish, the effort, that's all going to be there. And I know that they're going to support it. I know it's going to be a strong effort down the line. But even as it stands, I cannot imagine... between this and Heroes, I've never had so much fun with my friends ever. Playing with Dills yesterday, total blast. And that was just two of us. Imagine a team of six, dude.
We did a team of five with me, Garrett, Kyle, Jocelyn. Oh, man, who else was there?
Yeah, I tried to get home for that.
We had Viper for a second.
So
sad. Yeah, when we had five out of the six, that was like the funnest I've had playing video games in a really long time.
Yeah, it's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And it reminds me of the old LAN days back when I used to work at this company years ago and we'd play all night, and it's back. Like, this thing is back and it's being made by people who remember that. If you ask those guys why they're making this game, it's because those are the games they loved and they're finally getting to make one of those. And I think Kaplan's team is killing it. And I can't wait to see what they do with it at BlizzCon in terms of competition and kind of giving us an idea of what the future may hold for that. I can't wait for all of you to get beta keys. Like, this waiting.
I want everyone to be able to, you know,
answer and share the enthusiasm with us on Twitter and on everywhere. It's like, and the characters are so cool. Like, anyway, Lucio, I actually want to go out and go like wub 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 now. And anyway,
all I want to do is play it now. Honestly, that's yes. all I want to do.
What have we been doing? Talking to each other for an hour and a half. We could be playing Overwatch.
That's how much fun it is. That's how much fun it is. And you're hearing that from this French guy that doesn't really like shooters. I just want to point that out. That's really important fact point to make here. He doesn't really like shooters, but there you go. He's more excited than all of us combined. So anyway. We'll have more to say about it in the future. Thank you for enduring this one-off Blizzard episode where this is all we've talked about outside of other sort of small random references to other Blizzard games today. That may be a thing we do more in the future when something big comes out and happens. You know, StarCraft II's campaign hits. We may just dedicate an entire episode to talking about that. And for those who want to stick around and listen to it, they can. It's a little less of a surprise to tell you what we're doing. I say all this realizing our overlay on the video for the live stream is all WoW focused, and I don't want to lead people along, but I should have done something for Overwatch. But don't worry.
They want BlizzCon predictions. The chat room is crying out for BlizzCon predictions.
All right. Well, we've done some of that before, but let's do it. Are we talking general stuff? Like, what are they going to do on stage? Are we talking about for this game? Like, what do you think they mean?
I don't know. Make one prediction or, you know, a couple of predictions for BlizzCon. What do you think is going to happen?
Okay, I predict at BlizzCon they will announce that Tracer is the first hero for Heroes of the Storm from this game. Huh. I think that's going to be... It's a small one. It's a, you know, who knows? But I think that when they... If they don't announce it at BlizzCon, she will definitely be this. But I think at BlizzCon... One of the things they do is they say, and our first Overwatch hero to show up in Heroes of the Storm is Tracer.
I'm going to vote Winston.
Yeah, it might be Winston. He'd be a good tank.
Yeah.
Although I don't see him. The one thing I wanted to say about this game is I noticed he's not being, well, the matches I'm in, I'm hardly seeing Winston at all, and I feel bad about that.
I think he's just tough to play for a lot of people because he's so melee-centric, and you got to get up people's faces. And Reinhardt is much easier to understand because... You put the shield up and protect other people, right?
Right, right.
Or Winston has this big bubble, but he still needs to kind of get up in people's faces, and he's not able to just, like, protect an area.
Yeah. Well. And to tack onto that, I think that Blizzard will probably present something, because my brain is so on Overwatch right now. They'll present something in the way of story, background, lore, plans, video, something for this game. I don't know what that comes in the form of. Yeah. Probably won't be like single-player campaign or anything like that, but I think that they've got huge plans for that. There's way too much personality and backstory to be told here. I'm convinced of
that. Yeah, I think there might be... I think it's going to be a Heroes announcement. Not huge, but maybe business model, maybe platforms. We haven't talked about the fact that apparently there's no Mac client, but that's weird.
It's coming.
Come out and said that there never will be?
No. It's coming. They said it would be coming. They just don't have it
But it's not coming soon, okay. I don't think. Yeah.
And so maybe, definitely not release date, but business model, or you're right, Scott, maybe a web series or comics or something like that in the Overwatch universe. But aside from that, not a huge amount of announcements, I think, at BlizzCon.
I think this game's ripe for having a bunch of extra things talked about it, and I think Heroes has some of that potential, but I don't, you know, Legion is pretty well known. We're going to learn some things that we don't know. I have two interviews day after day there that will hopefully yield some of that we'll report on. One thing I'm not supposed to be able to announce yet, because I can't give you details, but all right, here's the deal. Friday, at a certain point of the day, I may be involved in something in the big community thing, and that's all I can say. I just don't know yet because I'm getting confirmation, but if it is, it might be kind of a big deal. So if you're going to BlizzCon, just keep me on your Twitter feed and stuff so you can see what's going on Friday.
So I should refollow you?
Let's see. Yes, you should refollow me. Dills only follows me when something big's going on, and then...
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, I have no time for that.
Anyway, Dills, any big predictions from you?
I think the biggest announcement is actually going to be Hearthstone related this year. Mm-hmm. I think that we're kind of in the know about most of the other stuff. We're going to find out some cool details, some things we didn't know, maybe some new heroes, that kind of stuff. But I think we'll get like some sort of a new adventure with Hearthstone, and it will have other features along with it. So
makes sense.
I don't know what those will be, but I'm hoping that there'll be something like tournament mode.
Yeah, you've been long asking for that.
Yeah.
I expect esports to be bigger than it's ever been there in terms of focus.
Do you expect it to be off the hook?
I expect it to be off the hook. The hype is real. What else? What's another way of saying it? The swag, YOLO.
They're going to YOLO swag it, 420
Blizzard. Yeah, YOLO, 420, yeah. Bay, whatever. All that stuff's going to happen. All right. Well, I think that's probably going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening, those live and those at home. Let's quickly give a chance for everybody to pimp any of their wares. Patrick.
Where's Daryl?
Where's Daryl? What's going on?
Why is no one talking about why Daryl's not here?
Patrick, what's your what's going on? I'm on Pixels with you this weekend. I'm excited about that. Or Monday.
Yeah. On Monday, we're going to record an episode of Pixels. We're going to talk about all of the announcements at Paris Games Week, a bunch of stuff. I tried the PlayStation VR. Going to talk about that, my impressions. And Overwatch. Oh, Pixels is on FrenchSpin.com. Mm-hmm. You can find it there. And Overwatchers with Garrett is on Amove TV, just like The Angry Chicken. It's kind of a very happy, incestuous podcasting family.
Yeah, we're all having sex at the end of the day, really. Dills, what's going on with you this week?
Let's see. So I would say, yeah, go check out Angry Chicken at BlizzCon. We're going to be doing a bunch of live stuff. So I'm going to be doing a live Stormcast, live Angry Chicken, live Instance, and yeah, and everything else. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. We got the meetup on Thursday, the Amove Frog Pants Bowling Alley meetup.
Oh, yeah, so Thursday night is the Amove plus now including Frog Pants officially, right? You guys are going to all stop by.
We'll be there for sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be at the bowling alley, which is like about a block, two blocks away from the con. Mm-hmm. But then the exciting thing is that today is my last day in the office. So next week you will have daily streams for me Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Nice.
And so essentially like I'll be working in the morning from home, and then after lunch I will switch into streaming podcasting mode. And so I'm going to be streaming every day, and then I leave for BlizzCon, and then it's going to be weird. Like the first week, I'm only doing 3 days, and then I leave for BlizzCon, then I leave for Vegas, and then when I get back, then it'll be like, okay, now we settle in. And
it's Vegas, the golf thing you're doing?
Yeah, the MJ World Championships is like literally. I get back on Sunday. Yeah. I'm here for Monday, and then I leave again on Tuesday.
Wow, that's crazy.
And I'm gone for like a week for that, so. It's going to be kind of nuts. Yeah. I hope I don't get sick at BlizzCon because it's going to really screw
me. I know, dude. There's stuff going around.
So nobody walk up and lick my face, all right? Just don't do that.
I was planning to do that, but I'm not going to be at BlizzCon. So,
we can hug and stuff.
I'm going to miss you.
Yeah.
Bring all that French weirdness. Yeah, we're going to miss Patrick as well. Terpster will be there. I'll be there. Dills will be there. And that means very likely there'll be an instance on Saturday. We don't have a schedule for that yet because who the hell knows until we hit the ground there what's going on. But we're going to plan on recording something. There'll be an episode of The Core. John Jagger and I will be there. And there'll be an episode of Current Geek and a little weird TMS thing with Brian Ibbett. So there's lots of stuff going on at the Guildhall, AIE Guildhall in the Hilton. I'll be at the Wowhead party. So if anyone else is going to be there, come find me. Only for a bit, though, because I got to get to the bowling alley. And then what else? That's it, I guess. And then Friday, just keep your ear to the ground. Friday, kind of a big deal. So I'm a little nervous about it if it happens, but kind of a big deal. That's it. I think that's it. TheInstance.net is the website, at Instance Show on Twitter. Follow me, at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, Patrick at Not Patrick, the _T for Terpster. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley, even though this week I'm not using it. Thanks to Paul Swickard for keeping track of the website. If you'd like more great shows like this, head over to frogpants.com. We'll see many of you at BlizzCon next week. I think that's it. Everybody within the sound of my voice, have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Later.
Cheers, love.
Cheers, love.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Burn it, burn it, burn it, burn it.